Pastor Everett.
Hey, Pastor Sam. You know, my mother-in-law is just awesome in lots of different ways. And actually, you know, I'd almost put her up against anybody in a Bible college education. She studied the Word of God so diligently in that. But another one of the ways that she's great is she's an incredible cook.
Yes, she is. We took your recipe, the mashed potato recipe.
Yeah. She has made some kind of apple strudel thing for tonight that it took God keeping my hands off of that thing all weekend. So it's going to be great tonight. Join us. Thank you, Pastor Sam. Hey, have you heard the story about the lady who saw her husband getting ready for work one morning, and she said to him with a big smile on her face, "Honey, I'll bet you don't know what day it is." And he just kind of froze. He thought, okay, and he's having a hard time remembering anniversary, birthday, what is it? You know, so since he had to excuse himself, he said, "Honey, how could I ever forget what this day is?" You know, and he walked out, and he got to work, and he got so busy he forgot even about to try and check and see what kind of day it is until the end of the day. And as the day wore on and it got time for him to leave, he called his wife and he said, "You know, honey, put on your best dress. We're going to go out tonight. We're going to go to one of our favorite restaurants. We're going to go eat there. We're just going to go celebrate this day together, you know." And so they rushed out, and he brought home a bouquet of flowers and everything, and he took her to this expensive restaurant. And so it cost him about $150 to celebrate the day. And all the time, he's wondering, what day am I forgetting? What is this? And so as they were driving home, his wife just kind of scooted over closer to him and just kissed him on the cheek and said, "Honey, I just want to tell you, this is the best Groundhog's Day we have ever celebrated." Well, you know, for the past couple of months, we have been celebrating our call to reach the one. And all of this is based on what we have on our banners here, that Jesus left the 99 to go after the one, and that we are to follow his example, that he has called us to be his ambassadors and to reach. And we looked at it just a couple of weeks ago, Luke chapter 15, that passage about lost things and how it talks about a shepherd who lost one of the sheep, went out to try and find it. And then there's the woman who lost her coin and looked for it. And then there's the father whose son went away and came back. And you know, as I was looking at that, it began to dawn on me. I hadn't seen this from this angle before, but all of a sudden, it was impressed upon me that every one of those, when something was lost, was found, there was a party thrown, and there was celebration. And it reminded me of the fact that God makes a big deal about celebrating stuff. And, you know, it struck me that whether it's the Old Testament or the New Testament, God lays out a pattern for biblical celebrations. You know why we're meeting on Sunday? I know you're off work on Sunday usually, but that's not it. One of the reasons, it's a celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Every Sunday is actually Easter for the church that knows that he is not dead, he is risen. That's the reason why the church meets on Sunday. It's a celebration. Well, and you look back at the feasts and the festivals of the Old Testament, when they brought in the grain, when they brought in the harvest, God had them celebrate. And I think it's very important that we as a church understand that. Well, today we are celebrating. We read Psalms 118 a moment ago. Let me point out to you, after I take a drink of water, today we are celebrating, as the Word of God tells us, because first of all, God is good. Look at verse 1. It says, "Give thanks to the Lord." In essence, it's saying when you give giving thanks is celebrating. Celebrate to the Lord, for he is good. Now, there's a phrase that is often repeated in church, and I know you're going to get it real quick. It says, "God is good all the time." Right. Let's do it one more time. God is good all the time. it's easy to say at times, isn't it? But what about those times when things aren't going well? What about those times when there's more month than there's money? What about those unexpected surprises? Car breaks down. Someone's sick in the family and it's pretty serious. It may be more difficult to recall God's goodness in those times. But in those times, we need to reach down and do what we've just said. We need to remind ourselves that God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. It may be a declaration of faith for you at some moment. Maybe even today, it's a declaration of faith in what you are facing. But hear me, Jesus promised in Matthew 8:28-20, he said that he is with us, how long? Always. And then there's Romans 8:28 that makes this promise that God is at work in all things to bring about good to those that love him. And then don't you just love Jeremiah 29:11, where God says, I know the plans that I have for you. It is a plan to do good and to give you a future, hope and a future. He is on our side. And his power is greater. He makes the darkness tremble, we sang it this morning. So we could say God is good for two reasons, I believe that this text shows us. The psalmist David writing says God is good, and here's why we could say is good. We can say that he is good because his love endures forever. Now, notice that phrase is often repeated throughout this psalm. How many times is it repeated in the psalm? Four? Five times? Five times? Okay. I want you to know this. I just recently learned this myself. Do you know that phrase, his love endures forever, throughout the entire Bible, it is repeated over 40 times. I would say that's a theme. That's something that I need to understand, that God's love doesn't change. His love, what? Endures forever. And God wants us to know and understand that. We could say that his love endures forever. And enduring love, there's qualities about this. I think we need to kind of key on this word enduring. Something that is enduring doesn't change according to the behavior of the recipients of love. You know what that says? It says to you and me, even when I mess up and I mess up bad, his love will not change. It endures forever. The Holy Spirit wants us to have that just burned into our consciousness. And enduring love remains strong and unyielding even in the face of misfortune. It's not going to walk away or change. And enduring love holds on through hardship and refuses to give in. That's the magnificent kind of love that God has for us. Now today is a day of celebration and rejoicing because his love endures forever, because God is good. And today I rejoice and I celebrate because you, abundant life, look at your neighbor and say you, abundant life, are a reflection of this enduring, never-ending love of God. You are reflecting and demonstrating that God is good and his love endures forever by several things. Turn around and look at this cross with me back here. Look at that cross. It is a reflection of the enduring love of God. First of all, it reflects the enduring love of God, and a love so great and so powerful that God gave his only son and had him nailed to the cross for our one. Hello. We were the one at one time, and now there is another one, and he had them nailed to the cross for those yet who have not even heard the good news. You talk about enduring love. My. You know, the other thing about this you being a reflection of that love is that Your commitment cards are up there. This is how you are reflecting the enduring love of God. You have partnered with God. When God says he is not willing that any should perish, you have come along with him and said, I'm not willing that my one should perish. I want them to know. I want them to hear. I'm going to pray for them. I want the body to be praying for them and interceding for them. His love endures forever. I am committed to it. And being a reflection of it. And you are declaring it. That's the second point. And this is, we know that God is good. It's because the people of God declare the goodness of God. It says, let Israel say his love endures forever. So you are reflecting and demonstrating that God is good by your commitment to remove barriers and obstacles, whatever it takes to reach the one. I want to take a moment and celebrate the team that we had to help us to put together our For the One campaign. There were many, many different people. If you were a part of the For the One campaign at any level, would you just stand with us right now? I want everybody to stand. There were people in the first service. Come on, Lauren. Tammy, you can stand too. You showed up at the meetings as well. If you participated anywhere in any of the meetings, come on and stand to your feet. Come on, give these folks a hand. Let me read their names off real quick. Alan Watterson, Amelia Paez, Angela Burgess, April Villasmil, Betty Trask, Byron Morgan, Carla Morgan, Cassie Sobolchek, Chuck Carter, Linda Carter, Donley Cameron, Ebony Walker, Everett Pafford, Jake Finley, James Burns, Johnny Arasola, Nora Arasola, Josh Weiss, Josiah Peterson, Karen and Johnny Koch, Kiri Newman. Did I mention Lauren Watterson already? Yeah. Linda Meyer, Marianne. Norm Aiken, Ruth Aiken, the Landers, Richard and Gladys Landers, Roy Veto, Sam Escamilla, Sharon Burton, and Sherwin Lewis, Tiffany Burns, Tina Lane, and Vashti Peterson. Give these folks a hand! Now, can I tell you what some of the wins in some of this? One of the wins that we need to celebrate is that these people who began to serve, we began to recognize what incredible leaders God has given us here at Abundant Life. I mean, there's some incredible leadership that just rose to the top in all of us, all these folks, leaders, and helping us. But we were able to say, oh, God's doing some things through these folks. And their gifts of leadership became real clear. And it comes back to this fact that we've been praying, we've been believing that God would raise up new leadership. And we see it in the answers of God to us. We celebrate them today. Last Sunday, we celebrate and declare it not only because of this team, but last Sunday, you, the congregation, made commitments. Let me tell you. Do you want to hear what the commitments were? Yes. Oh, two of you do. Come see me afterwards, and the rest of them are just. I want to tell you that the number of commitments that we had, I was told that the number of cards that were turned in were 109 commitment cards turned. Come on, give God a hand for that. Now, maybe that doesn't impress you so much, but I want you to hear that, you know, we are averaging somewhere around 220, I think is a conservative approach to what we're having, somewhere around 200 to 220 adults. That doesn't include the kids on Sunday morning. So understand that, you know, Elka and I both come. We're a part of that count. We didn't make separate commitments. We made one commitment. So when you take into count that there's about 200 that attend, and many of them are of just one husband-wife unit as well as single, 109 is an incredible amount of people. Come on, give him thanks. Looking and seeing that we want to reach the one, we rejoice together in that today. We rejoice because God is good. His love endures forever, and we declare it. Secondly, we rejoice today because God is our help. Look at this verse. In verse 7 says, "The Lord is with me. He is my helper." Pay attention to the screen this morning, if you would, please.
My name is Consuelo Guerra. I've been coming here in Abundant Life for about 4 years, me and my husband. I live in Grand Prairie. No, I live in Oak Cliff. I have 6 kids, 3 boys and 3 girls. My son, when he was younger and that we got separated, he went out to the war and he was introduced with drugs, you know, doing drugs that I didn't know, you know. And one Sunday they were coming to church. I don't know what was wrong with him, but he wanted to go to church with us that Sunday. And, you know, I said, no. And that Sunday he left at 6 and never came back. And that's when, you know, they came to our house and they said he was pronounced dead, you know, pronounced dead. And I thank God because God was in the midst. That was his calling, because God was with me the way he says that he's with us all the way to the end, because he gave me comfort and I finally accepted that God was calling him home. And that's why I'm still here, because like I said, it took me to go through this to really know about Abundant Life Church and Pastor Everett, his wife Elka, and all the ones that come in this church, showing their hospitality and showing their love to someone that really needed after what had happened to my son. Not too many people, even the churches, will do, you know, that kind of thing with you when you're new, you know. And they just opened the church, you know, for the family to come after the funeral and all that. We didn't have to worry about anything, because God had put everything in place toward pastors and the people that were here. They were so, for them not knowing us yet, they showed what God is, that they loved us, and here I am, you know, the grace of God still, you know, praying to God and trusting him and believing in him, so that no other thing as hard as this one moved me to leave my God, and nothing else can, you know. And here I am, grateful to God sending me to this house of church and the people. They're awesome. Consuelo Guerra, and I'm the one.
If anyone knows God as their helper, it's Consuelo and Robert Guerra. There's much, much more to their testimony and what God has done in their lives and how he has been their helper. And I want to make something really clear. You know, she said, Pastor Pafford and Elka, we are just the Lord's representatives. And more importantly, I want you to hear this. We are your representatives. We represent you, Abundant Life Church. Couldn't do that kind of thing without your help. And I want you to understand that God is using us together in the work that he wants to do in reaching the ones for Jesus Christ. You know, there are some things that we just cannot accomplish on our own. You know, you clearly can do laundry on your own. How many ladies out here? Yeah, you do the laundry on your own. Let me see. Yeah, yeah. I got a guy raising his hand saying, yeah, I do the laundry on mine. How many of you guys here, the yard work's all yours? You got to do the yard work. Let me see your hand. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can clearly do that. You know, you can clearly do the laundry, mow the lawn on your own. You can wash the car, wash the dishes on your own. But there are some things that are beyond our ability to achieve or accomplish on our own. You know, it kind of reminds me of times when I've attempted to do something, even doing it on my own. And Pastor James Weiss, you really like cars and all that. You know, I think you like them more than I do. I mean, kind of a hobby type thing in that. For me, you know, it's just I got to fix it. And so if I can fix it, I'm going to fix it. Or if it's beyond me, somebody. And there's been times when I'm fixing something. You know, I can remember a lawnmower even that I had when I pastored in southeastern Ohio, and I had this Cub Cadet tractor. And it had a mower belt on that deck that had to be 8 feet long. I mean, it was an incredible, and it wound around so many different things. And I can remember one day as I was trying to put this mower deck belt back on, I got so aggravated with it. I'd been working at it probably an hour or so. I had to walk away from it or I was going to curse. I mean, that's how bad, and I don't curse, you know, but it was that bad. And so I walked away from it. It was one of those times, maybe you can identify with it. I walked away from it. And as I walked away from it, I said, oh, God, just help me. I just need your help in doing this. And you know what was incredible? I went back to that thing, and it seemed like it all just clicked and worked. Can I get a witness? Have you ever had that happen in your life? The Lord is our help. God is our helper. We must not forget that. And that's one of the reasons why we are saying today and celebrating today. And he was David's helper because David said, he's my helper. I trust him. Look at this, verse 8. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. Do you realize that God's help is more than adequate because it's divine help? It's beyond the help of man. It has the supernatural power to it. And God's help is so great because it's always available. The network will never go down on God's server. Hello? It will never need to be updated and say, come back later. He is always available. And then thirdly, we can trust God because his help is always appropriate. He tailors it to just exactly what we need. David said, God is my helper. I'm going to trust in him. David said, God is my helper. I will triumph. Look at verse 7. I will look in triumph upon my enemies. You see, because David's trust and David's confidence in God's plan, it was God who was adequate, available, and appropriate. He knew that God would give him success when it looked so bad. As I said a moment ago, you may be here today and you're going through some really tough stuff. I mean, it's very hard. You're overwhelmed. You feel like it's all crashing in on you. You feel like you're in over your head. Perhaps it's, you know, a job. Perhaps it's a sickness. Perhaps it's difficulties with relationship. Remember that at the time of the greatest need, the greatest triumph can come out of it. I want you to grab a hold of that. Because you see, God is good and God is our help. Think about this. It looks so awful for Jesus. And the only way there was a resurrection was because he was on the cross and he faced death. Out of the most difficult of times came the greatest triumph. I want you to look to God as your helper today. Disasters and troubles are opportunities for God to show how he can triumph in our lives. Reminds me of the time when the radio audience and television audience first hear these words.
Houston, we have a problem.
Now today, people with their employers and that will often say, use that phrase to talk about, boy, I got some difficulties here, something's really wrong. Houston, we have a problem. But those words were first spoken by Jim Lovell on the evening of April 13th, 1970. You see, nearly 56 hours in the mission to the moon, an explosion aboard the spacecraft plunged the flight crew into a fight for their survival. With less than a minute after that explosion, there was a cascade of system failure after system failure throughout the spacecraft. All at once, it was a monstrous failure, is what NASA's flight controller called it. Maybe you remember it. The world was transfixed, listening and hearing about what was going on, where they couldn't see and they couldn't understand. And millions, maybe a billion, but at least millions of people were praying for that flight crew. That spacecraft looped around the moon, using the gravity of the moon to slingshot it back to Earth. And millions of people watched the drama on television. And eventually the capsule splashed down in the Pacific Ocean near Tonga. Although the mission was not a success from a conventional perspective, it was a triumph of ingenuity and determination, wrote a reporter for the BBC in an article, Apollo 13, From Disaster to Triumph. And Jim Lovell said this, "It showed the people of the world, even if there was a great catastrophe, it could be turned into success." Hear me this morning. If you're facing difficulty, if you're facing disaster, if you're facing tragedy, if you're facing something that you don't know where to turn, I want you to hear today that God is your help, and He specializes in taking things that look awful and bad and turning them around for good. Come on, give Him praise today. God is our help. This past Sunday, you demonstrated that He has begun to show that obstacles and barriers are nothing for Him. That He's performing the miraculous through you, in you, so He can do something through you, so He can do something beyond you, transforming us. So we celebrate because God is good. We celebrate because God is our help. And today we also celebrate because God is God. Say that with me. God is God. Now, I know you know what that means. It simply means that nothing, absolutely nothing, is too hard for Him. He is God, and because He's God, He is at work. Now, make no mistake, God isn't just sitting back on His throne. We know from what Jesus said and what Jesus did on the cross that He is at work. He is not willing that any should perish. So He is at work. And He is at work at us. And He's still changing and transforming lives. And that's what our For the One campaign is all about. I want you to celebrate with me and look at the transformation that happened in this young man's life and how God is still using him. Would you look at him, please?
My name is Atan Zavangor. I've been going to Abundant Life for 11 years now. Since we've been living in Grand Prairie, we've always seen this church, you know, down Carrier. And we had been going to church in Dallas for the longest time. And one day my family decided to come by, and the people, you know, were great. And just accepting and loving. And I was only a kid back then, so I was a little kid. I was back there, you know, at the kids' zone and the kids' ministries. Once Hype had started, you know, Pastor James, you know, they came. He really started, you know, talking about how, you know, Jesus had created us, you know, for a reason, and, you know, and that purpose, you know, for our lives is to worship Him. And that really got me thinking. That really got to me, and it convicted me. You know, the Holy Spirit was, you know, tugging on my heart. I was like, wow, like, you know, that's how exactly how I've been living. You know, just, you know, living for other people's acceptance, and that's not, you know, that's not how God created us for. God created us, you know, to serve Him and, you know, to live for Him. And, you know, that just completely, you know, changed my mindset. You know, God started working on my heart, and I just started, you know, telling everyone about it, telling my friends, and trying to use that influence that I have, you know, as an athlete to, you know, get people to come to God and try to disciple. You know, I started realizing, no, it's not about me. You know, it's about Him. He created me. He blessed me with a gift. He blessed me with this position. So, you know, He did it for a reason. That's, you know, to point it back to Him. You know, and that's to open up other ways, you know, to help people, to motivate people, and to encourage people, you know, that, you know, they're not alone. So I'll be at Texas Christian University next year on a football scholarship. And God just blessed me with that opportunity. My mindset hasn't changed, you know. I know that God is still, you know, giving me, you know, these abilities and this opportunity, you know, not to use it for myself or just for myself, you know, to give him glory. My name is Atanson Von Gore, and I'm the one.
Pastor Jamie Weiss, how would you say that Atanza has influenced Height Ministries? Yeah.
I would say him and his brothers have been vital to the growth of the church and getting the gospel out to the schools because they're bold and they take what's been preached on Sundays and Wednesdays and then they check it. Atanza and his brothers are probably the first students I've ever had in my ministry since 2002, where I got to check my scripture because they're going to check it for me. So they're very, very, very influential in the growth of this church and in youth ministry.
I was thinking about this book that I'm listening to. I have mentioned it before. There's a book called Tipping Point by Malcolm Gladwell, and I'm listening to it again. And Malcolm identifies that just like viruses create an epidemic, there's a tipping point to where it just all of a sudden it explodes. And I was thinking of them in this vein as I was listening to it, because he identifies there are connectors, there are influencers, and I don't have time to go into this. It could be another fascinating message, and mavens. And he talked about how hush puppies almost were dead, and all of a sudden they just exploded and came back. I believe that the Von Gores, maybe you didn't come because of them, but there was probably somebody else that came that invited you, and they caused a tipping point. Can I tell you, you never know when your one is going to cause the tipping point. You never know when your one is going to affect somebody so powerfully that it is a people movement that sweeps through and generations come to faith. Oh man, I may preach for another hour here. You never know when your one might be the next Billy Graham that God raises up to change and preach to millions. You see, Atanza, there was a transformation that Atanza identified there. He began to all of a sudden see that God is God and his whole life is about glorifying God, not just about himself. God is at work. And not only is he at work, he has made his light shine on us so that we might shine the light on him. Psalms 118, verse 24, 27 says, "The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us." The ultimate way he did this, obviously, was the sacrifice Jesus did on the cross, sending his Savior, the good news through Jesus Christ, demonstrated to us. But this past Sunday, he shined his light through this congregation in a powerful way. You see, this past Sunday, he spoke to the hearts of the people here at Abundant Life, and you responded with faith and sacrifice. And are you ready to hear the incredible amount of commitments that was made last week? I have 10 now. I have 10. How many of you are you ready to hear what God did last week? Well, first of all, let me say this. Not all of it can be reflected in us knowing the exact amount of dollars. This excites me. Here's another thing that happened last week that is just so powerful. There were 56 people, maybe families, maybe individuals, that walked up and put a card into this that said, "I'm going to begin to tithe or I'm going to raise my giving to 10%. 56! Come on, give God thanks for that. First service, I was talking with one of the sisters here. I won't tell you her name because she hasn't given me permission to do this, but I was talking to one of the sisters even during greeting, and she said, "Pastor, come over here. I'm going to tell you something." She said, "My son is a chiropractor and he lives in Irving, and I've been telling him all of his life that he needs to honor God with his tithe. Doesn't even come to this church, goes to another church. And unbeknownst to her, just a month or two ago, he began to tithe. They happened to have a family thing together. And he said, Mom, I got to tell you this. He said, this is incredible. He said, I started honoring God with my tithe and my business. My business all of a sudden, it's just taken off. She said, honey, I've been trying to tell you, honor God and he will honor you. 56 people. I don't know who you are, but I pray for you. I pray that you won't get weary and in well-doing, that you'll see a big bill at one point and say, man, I don't know if I can do this. That you'll just allow God to help you to trust him, because it's all about faith and it's all about trust. So that's another one of the wins. But do you want to hear how much was committed by this group of people over the next, come on, do you want to hear? Come on, kids, come on, help me out. Come on, stand across the front here. We've asked the kids from Kids Zone to come join us to give us this reveal of this incredible response that God did through these folks. Come all the way down here. Oh, you're arranging them? Okay. Coming after me. Pastor Josh is trying to keep the numbers in order. Okay, so here we go. We're gonna start at the bottom and go up, okay? So first of all, we have your number. Can you turn your number around for us? 9, 6. So $69 so far, right? 0, $69. $1,069. $11,069. Let's say amen, go home, right? Are you ready? Are you ready for this? Turn your number around. $311,000! Woo! Look at that! $311,069! Hallelujah! Come on, stand up, give him a shout! Praise God! Praise God. Sing it.